So.
Yeah, they might dig that, because that's like a, you know, free promotion for them. We can be like, oh, thanks to fucking, you know, Shit Rockets. Or
we'll get there. Yeah, Shit Rockets. My favorite Buffalo band.
Yeah.
The Shit Rockets.
They'll do it.
Buffalo, New York, where the venerable Father Baker was born, lived a life of peace, nourished the poor, and then became the stuff of children's nightmares. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a musician in the 716. I'm Ryan Gurnett.
I'm Dennis Reed Jr. Did we lose a few letters there from the all WNY name?
Dennis, we did.
Yeah.
It is now allwny.com. So that's where you can find the website on Facebook and on the Twitter machines.
So update your bookmarks if you have to.
Today we have an interview with veteran scenester Angel Rivera, formerly of Nico and the Viva Noir, and currently in Buffalo punk rock band Super Tugger. In addition to playing songs from Super Tugger's brand new Wasted, Hopeless, Wasted EP, Angel will reveal which of the EP's songs he pictures playing at a Sabres game and tell us about the warring factions of the New Jersey hardcore scene he comes from.
Yep, and after that we have a wad of Band on the Street interviews for you, with a song from each band, used with permission, of course. We are respectful of artists' rights here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. And Ryan, describe the Band on the Street concept to our audience if people aren't familiar with it.
I really like going to concerts for free. So in order to go to concerts for free, I talk to bands on the sidewalk. I force them into corners. We quarantine them in the bathroom. We don't let them out.
And drag them into alleys.
And we sit them down and we ask them the important questions that need to be asked, the burning missives that you would be telling us that you wanted answered if anyone who listens to this podcast actually communicated with us regularly.
Yeah, it's what you're thinking but not actually writing to us. Those are the questions
Yes.
that we pose to bands that we have cornered or drugged or otherwise misled into doing an interview with us impromptu.
Yes.
So we'll have four of those coming up for you here on the show. We recorded them May 24th, 2018 at the Mohawk Place. The bands are Buffalo's First Ward, Rust Belt Brigade, The Eves, and from Virginia, the Cherubic, Mike Frazier, and the Dying Wild. And we have some really good conversations. There's lots of Warren Zevon talk, especially from First Ward and from The Eves. I talk about my Warren Zevon rolling paper, my Warren Zevon signed rolling papers that I tried to take through Canadian Customs. I tell that story. The Eves get into some really interesting descriptions of working with LA producer Ted Hutt at GCR, and then tell us about how they found their sound on the new record they're recording.
And one of the guys in Rust Belt Brigade is an MMA fighter trained in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Which, of course, we had to bring up with him.
And Mike Frazier had a really nice time.
Yeah, Mike Frazier.
Clearly, he was very philosophical
mm-hmm.
and wise.
Absolutely. And we'll all benefit from that wisdom when we listen to the Band on the Street interview a little bit later in the show after our interview with Angel.
Dennis.
Yeah.
We have breaking news.
Oh! The production value.
Just here on the imaginary desk that this fake news report is coming from, Dennis.
Is that an imaginary dildo on your imaginary desk?
I'm just not wearing any pants. Dennis, we're going to Warped Tour.
We're going on tour?
No. We're going on to Warped Tour.
Oh, like when the Warped Tour comes here, we're just going to go there?
Yes.
Oh, that's still awesome.
So,
like, did you buy tickets, or what do you mean? We're going on a Warped Tour.
I talked.
Did you win something from the radio?
I talked to the wonderful Dewey Richvar from Green Jello and Kaiser Solze, who is a solo performer. Well, he's a He has a band, but he's just, that's his name.
Are you sure this person exists, really? Because you realize that is like the punchline in the Kevin Spacey movie, The Usual Suspects, right?
It's spelled different.
Okay.
But I'm not sure, because his Facebook page...
Have you ever seen him in person?
His Facebook page has 5,000 friends, mm-hmm. which means you can't have any more.
Okay.
So I'm actually not his friend on Facebook, so I can't really delve into what's going on with him.
You can't vet him.
I can't.
Okay.
But he did get us into Warp Tour.
Okay, all right.
So, no, I talked with both of them. All WNY is sponsoring the WNY Corner Stage, which is going to be a bunch of bands from Buffalo, Rochester, a little further beyond, like areas like Syracuse. And, Dennis, we're doing an all-day live broadcast.
Yeah.
We'll be going from 11 in the morning till 6 at night. While the bands are playing, we're going to be playing...
Jeez, I think I got to work. Isn't that a weekday?
Oh, that's absolutely a weekday.
Oh, well, sorry, UV.
Wait till you find out what time we have to get there in the morning.
Oh, no, really?
You're going to hate me. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, God. Yeah, we better turn the mics off for that.
But, yeah, we're going to run some pre-recorded segments that we haven't played before. We're going to be playing music from all the bands on the stage and other pop, punk, hardcore kind of bands from the local scene.
Yeah, and unlike most of our podcasts that people have to sit and wait for a couple weeks for, and then they, you know, subscribe to the feed or they just stream them online.
This is right to
we're
you.
We're actually going to be, like, playing, we're going to be broadcasting, streaming on the internet live as this happens, right?
Yes, so if you have a job and you wish you were at Warped Tour and you can't go,
yeah,
tune in to us. We'll distract you from your job. We'll get to hear some cool music. We'll also be interviewing all the bands.
Yep, and when that bitch Janie asks for a correction on the spreadsheet, you can just tune her out and crank up that music a little bit louder.
God, I hate Janie so much.
Janie.
She's so frustrating. But yeah, we're going to be playing, we're going to play games, we're going to be giving away some prizes, all sorts of fun nonsense.
It's going like the struggle is real on bath salts.
It's going to be 7 hours long. Dennis, this is going to be pretty grueling.
Yeah.
So now, Dennis.
Well, a lot of it's pre-recorded, so.
No, it's less than you think.
Really? Less than I hope.
Dennis, have you ever been to Warped Tour?
I haven't, no. Is this the one where there's, like, guys, like, getting, like, cannons shot in their chests and, like, hanging from nipple piercings and stuff? Does that go on? Is there, like, a midway there?
That was always more Lollapalooza that you're thinking of.
See, I never went to that either.
I wish I would have. I never did. Warped Tour started more as, like, a skating event. It was music and skating.
Oh, okay, yeah, not
but
my
about,
world.
About 7 years ago, they actually took, like, I think all the skating's gone now. They used to have, like, these big half pipes,
mm-hmm.
and they used to have dudes skateboarding behind the bands when you could watch, and there was some more, you know, it was kind of punk
was
rock
the theme,
meets the
yeah.
X Games almost, and from I heard about 7 years ago, they took that away, but...
And now it's more of a knitting theme, right? Isn't it a lot of, like, cross hatch and... Crosshook.
It is the final year of Warp, so
and jump the shark.
Us people who went to Warp when we were younger are now 36 and hosting a podcast in their parents' basement.
Getting a little long in the tooth.
But yeah,
more half pipes for you.
Real Big Fish and Less Than Jake are kind of the big headliners, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And we have. I'm trying to think who's on.
So there's some big headliners, but we are going to be bringing you exclusive interviews with local bands and questions for people that we find drunk, laying under trailers, this sort of thing.
And pretty girls.
Right.
Or if possible. On the
fingers
stage,
crossed.
The lineup right now has County Kings of Night and Light, Lucky 33, Toy Box Brigade, mm-hmm. On the Cinder, Cardboard Homestead, who I'm really excited about seeing.
Okay.
Quickside, Stolen Bike, and the aforementioned Kaiser Solze.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
It's a lot of bands.
This is a major media event.
This is going to be some cool stuff going on.
Awesome.
So, like I said, if you can't make it to Warped Tour, the next best thing is to listen to us for the day.
Live vicariously through us.
And if you're going to go to Warped Tour, come and hang out and say hi. Maybe we'll give you something for free.
Absolutely. We're going to have some swag. We're going to have some bumper stickers, hopefully, and some t-shirts. And
oh, you know what? So on our, let's see, it would be our July 15th episode, which will be our Warped Tour preview of sorts.
Okay.
I'm going to give people out a code here, and the first few people who show up at Warped with that code are going to get a free t-shirt.
Ah, nice.
So that's, so listen, you want a free shirt. So,
Everybody with their man boobs just hanging out right now, we're going to help you cover those up.
Yeah.
Some free shirts.
Cover those titties.
Cover those foresty areolae. All right, so as listeners of the podcast know, Ryan has recently been participating in the Queen City, what's it actually called? The Queen City Music Lottery Showcase, where a lot of different Buffalo...
I think it's the Queen City Band Lottery Showcase.
No, actually, I went to their Facebook page for this, yeah, because I've been constantly getting it wrong. But this is something Ryan and about, how many other musicians participated in this?
It started with 45. By the time we got to the final show, it was closer to 25.
Basically, a bunch of musicians threw their name in the hat, and then they got divided up, randomly selected and divided up into different bands. So they all made new bands, and they all practiced together, and sometimes playing genres they weren't even necessarily familiar with. Mm-hmm. And then they all did a big triumphant concert at the end of it. At the Polish library on 6-2. And it was Ryan's first time singing. And yep. I'd like to, before we get into the discussion here, I would like to play a little bit of the audio for our audience now.
Do you know which of the two songs you'll be playing? I can give it a little talk.
I kind of want to play Every Second I Captured, which is, it's the end of the second song, because you only did three, right?
Yeah, we did three.
So it's the end of the second song, and then, like, maybe the first half of the third song?
Okay.
So here is Broski. This is Ryan singing with the band Broski at the Queen City Music Lottery Showcase. And who else is in the band?
I just called
you Brian. Sorry about
God
that.
Damn it. I want to make sure I get everyone's names right. So we had Rita Growitz.
The bass player?
On bass.
Cool.
Usman Hake, who is a member of the Buffalo Gamelan Society. He did some backing vocals and played keyboards. Ren Warner, who I believe he was the bass player in the Leones, which is now our co-host, our producer Will's gig.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else he's working on right now. He played drums. He's fantastic. And we have Brian Johnson, who he's in Honeycomb, and he's in Mutual Friends, mm-hmm. and he has a lot of different music projects, and they're all phenomenal. He's a great guitarist. He makes fun sounds, and he's fantastic.
Great. But was this one phenomenal? Everybody, listen, you decide. We'll come back and talk about it. Here's Broski on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, 6-2 at the Queen City Lottery Music Showcase Band Event.
Lottery.
There it was. Damn, Ryan, you sound angry. Where did that come from?
I don't know where that came from. I came in. I've got a low baritone, and when I sing that way, I can't really propel a lot. Like mm-hmm. my voice, I can't really get it out. So I found if I really push it out hard, that's where that growl comes from.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got it. I didn't expect that. I don't know what I was. I guess I was expecting more like sort of like wimpy alternative singing, like I do, like la 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 la.
I hate my voice when I sing like that.
You know?
Like,
yeah.
Like I like going like low Mike Dowdy range with a little distortion behind uh-huh. me, and this was just pushing it well beyond that for me. Like this, you know, I was kind of. For me, it was a little bit of against me was in there. Certainly.
I was going to say, that's more your roots, though, too, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you kind of are steeped in all that hardcore stuff. Like, I think of it like, is hardcore, is that the
it's
right
more
term?
Punk.
More punk, I'm sorry. I think of it like, when I used to make my grandparents angry, they were like Pennsylvanian, Dutch folks. When I made them angry, all of a sudden that like Pennsylvanian Dutch accent really came out and it'd be like, yins are driving me! And like you were put in a stressful situation and just out came, you know, what you were sort of dyed in what your original sort of musical identity was, I guess.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was impressed.
Thank you.
I thought it was really, cool. And the band sounded great. And
they really did.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but I think you guys kind of nailed it.
Glee.
Now, can we talk about the panties real quick? We have a lot to get to this episode,
but I want to
talk about the panties. So I was standing next to your wife when all of these panties materialized on stage. At the very end of the concert, in fact, Maddo was hit with some panties directly in the face. I've got a photograph perfectly timed of that we'll have on our website.
I saw the panties on his
you
face. I actually
out.
Thought he picked them up and put them on his face.
No, those were in flight, like an inch away from his nose as he was trying to like seriously MC and wrap up the night. He was kamikaze'd.
That. Oh, that's fantastic.
He was kamapantied he was blindsided. And your wife and I were both a little outraged. She more than me. She was like, are those, because we were like, are those fake? Are those like props? And we're assuming they're props, you know?
Yeah.
And she actually said, she's like, well, what's the point of throwing them if they're fake? If they're not even like actual panties, which I thought was funny.
They were giant panties. So I don't think they were used, because I don't think...
Yeah, they're, now that you mention it, I didn't notice that.
Like, the first one landed on stage, I kind of glanced to my right, and I'm like, I think that's underwear. It looks like a sports bra, but I think it's underwear. And they were like these big, colorful, clunky, granny panties.
Right, right. Okay. So, yeah, they were definitely, because I didn't see anybody like that there. I saw a lot of diminutive scenesters.
If they were real panties, they would have been nicer.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it was a nice exclamation point on the performance, though. And congratulations to all the groups.
Oh, absolutely.
And you for not making a fool out of yourself, in my opinion. I mean, a few people, you know, anybody who just heard that recording, if you disagree, feel free to write or call in and let us know what you think of Ryan's performance. Feel free to send it to Chase Atlantic. As well, the Australian pop group.
Quick sidebar on that.
Sure.
Dennis, Chase Atlantic is also going to be at Warped Tour.
Yes!
So...
We gotta find him.
I want Mitchell Cave to punch me in the face.
I'll start a collection.
Alright, we're gonna work on that.
Outside of our little circuit, Ryan, what else is happening in the 716?
Dennis, there's so much happening in the 716.
There's a lot going on out there, right?
Yes.
I haven't been able to pay attention to it, but you...
So,
you tell us.
This Friday, the 15th, me and Nate, and maybe Will, will be at this CD release party at Mr. Goodbar, with Winsky and Wolves of Tomorrow on the bill. On June 21st, a band called Pieces is releasing their newest EP at Electric Avenue, which is right around the corner from Mohawk Place. On the 22nd, Super Tugger is there releasing their CD, which we'll be talking to Angel about later. They've got Wolf Tickets, Friends of the Podcast, Governess, and Damage Report on the bill.
Oh, great.
I haven't seen Governess since we interviewed them, and I've been dying to do that, so that's cool.
Nice.
The next day, on the 23rd, there is a Western New York music scene and All WNY showcase concert. I think All WNY is in on that. Either way. It's Hojack, Wyatt Coyne, XM Priory, which is hosted by Nick of the Nick and Dan podcast.
Right, right.
Because I'm a company man. And I was myself for Halloween. And then just to kind of burn through a bunch of them real quick.
Sure.
On the 26th, we have Belmont, Rarity, Stick Up Kid, and 20-something at Mohawk Place. On the 27th at Mohawk Place, we have Ghost Pool, Handout, Previous Love, Homeowner, and Better Than.
Homeowner?
Homeowner. On the 29th at Mohawk, we have Ghost Ride the Whip is releasing their new album with openers Tony Boy, Basha, and Brian Blaze. On June 30th, there's a Food Not Bombs event going on that I believe Think So Joe hosts. Tits All the Time is hosting. I think he's involved with that and has tickets. You can probably find out more about that on his podcast. There's also, and I might even go to this, on the 28th at Stamps, there is a free barbecue.
Any music involved or just free barbecue?
There's bands involved, too.
Just some meats on a grill.
It is Don Roth, Poison and Prose, Sleepy Sad Sack, Yellow Sauce, Alvy, and Andrea L.
Okay.
So, that's just the end of June. So, once we get past the 4th of July weekend, there's going to be a lot more stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And
so get out there, people. Support your local artists. Support your local musicians.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are here with Angel Rivera.
Hello.
Of
hey, Angel.
Viva Noir fame, the card
Thank you.
Cheats, and currently Super Tugger.
Super Tugger, yes.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you've been a musician for a while. Do you want to talk about some of the stuff you've done along the way?
What got me here? Well, we started back in high school. I had a band called the PCB. That was for Peaceful Christian Brothers. We were a hardcore band, and that was ironic.
Oh, okay.
And that was in New Jersey. and then moving on to that, I moved to Buffalo about 20 years ago. Was in a band called Nico with Rich Floral. He's also from down here, from Orchard Park. And
from Dots and Moon, right?
Yeah, he's in Dots and Moon now, yes. But back then it was Nico. And then took a couple of years off and ended up in the Viva Noir, which I think, Ryan, you're familiar with.
I'm familiar.
You may have heard of.
I've heard their music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, ended up doing some shows with the Card Cheats, which we did for Strummerville this 2015. And then we just kept jamming and messing around and playing some punk covers and eventually decided to write some songs. And those songs became the EP that you got in front of you now.
Awesome.
Excellent. So you became a musician. When were you in the punk band or in the hardcore band?
Well, that was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I was playing. I was 16, 17, 18.
Skateboarding too? Or?
Yeah, of course skateboarding.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, definitely. It was New Jersey, man. It was the 80s. So, it was skateboarding and playing punk rock. I mean, the big bands I was into was Minor Threat, Gangrene, Circle Jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had all the New York bands like Agnostic Front. You had Youth of Today.
All my friends were into that stuff. I remember seeing the stickers like on their folders and they were wearing the t-shirts and they scared me a little bit. You were more from that scene too, right?
Oh, yeah,
you
liked
the hardcore stuff.
Yeah, you were the AV geek in the Beatles shirt.
I was, I was the Beatles geek. And,
you were writing poetry while the rest of us were.
And REM and Morrissey.
Meeting women and doing things like that.
Oh no, I had plenty to do with women, dude. Come on. I was like...
You say so.
By the time I was 19, I kissed at least two girls.
There you go.
So...
Nice work.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, but you
still... Apology accepted.
You used to live down in Jersey and would ride the train to the city to see bands at the hardcore matinees on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So Agnostic Front would be playing down there with like Murphy's Law and a whole bunch of other bands. 3 o'clock shows, it'd all be over by 8 o'clock. Every Sunday.
Crazy pit stories?
Yeah.
What's the worst injury? Ever to the hospital?
Yeah, I broke my nose like about 10 times being punched in the face by skinheads.
Yeah.
That's probably a very common story from the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's like a war wound.
Because the skinheads were like they're a subset, right? Like you guys weren't skinheads. Skinheads were like white supremacist kind of dudes, right?
Well, there were some white supremacists. They had their own subculture. I mean, there was black and Asian skinheads. I mean, there was all sort of, in New York City, there was subcultures upon subcultures of skinheads and punks and everything else. But the biggest thing is you had punk skins and metal kids. And when they showed up at a show, like a Motorhead show, Ramones show, those were like the middle crossover bands.
Right.
There'd be full on violence. There'd be like punks and skins and metal kids all just getting in the pit and beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, warring factions.
Yeah, they were warring factions. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was probably really violent and awful, but I kind of want to see it.
Yeah. Well, living in New Jersey, you had a pull. You had either go to New York City or you go down to Philly. But the one New Jersey venue that was like it was just like legendary was Trenton City Gardens.
Okay.
And that's in the middle of the state, smack dab between Philly and New York. And that's where New Jersey Skins hung out. And you went down there, and that was a full-on war zone.
Wow.
And they were famous. Even Murphy's Law from the East Village in New York, they went to do a show down there, and they couldn't believe how violent the New Jersey Skins were. And they wrote a wall. It was called the Skinhead Wall. And they all lock arms, and you'd be in the pit slamming away punk rock style, and all these skinheads would just slam the wall, all linked arms, and wipe out the entire room.
Wow!
It was. Just, it
Did
was
you
like,
go armed? Did you bring like a knife or like a nail?
No, I didn't bring anything like that. No, my face.
Just the target.
But, we did the best we could, for the times.
So, what did your band? You said what were you called? The Christian Brotherhood?
PCB. Peaceful Christian Brothers.
Okay.
PCB is also, if you don't know it, a toxic agent. We thought the combination was too funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's...
So you guys did hardcore stuff.
Yes.
And did you get a lot of gigs out there?
We played just some local shows with some friends and stuff. Yeah, we played mostly local in New Jersey. Our biggest show was called Lemmingade. It was an outdoor show in some of New Jersey with a whole bunch of other bands. And this is the 80s, so 80s in New Jersey. So we were playing with like metal bands, like hair metal bands. There was two bands played a Tom Sawyer. That was the 80s. This was the 80s. So we played. We had a 15-minute set of which they let us play 11 minutes of it. We got shut down in the middle of our set. And we have pictures of this. When, again, we were just teenage kids playing this outdoor show, and they thought we were going to bring this like super dangerous element into New Jersey. And the police just surrounded the stage, and the promoter, the guy who was running the show, said, "Kids, don't hurt each other when this band plays. You're going to get very aggressive." And so, like, had this, like, big disclaimer before we played.
Oh, wow.
And when we played, they turned us off after 11 minutes.
Oh, so, like, did people start getting worked up?
No, not really.
Yeah, no. They were just afraid.
We were just too extreme for them. They just couldn't handle it. After two Tom Sawyers. Oh, and there was a Pink Floyd cover band. They played Money just before we hit the stage.
Right.
So when we came out, it was just like we were from Mars.
Yeah, and you probably came out with like your like fastest, most abrasive material.
Exactly.
Just to really thumb your nose at them.
And that was the 80s. That was considered extreme back then.
Right. So how did you lose your way and wind up in Buffalo?
We came here about 20 years ago because my wife got her PhD in UB.
Okay.
So we ended up moving here for her.
Oh, and great! What did you get her PhD in?
In English.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. She's done great and moved us here, and we're Western New York now.
And what did you think of the music scene when you came here? Were you still like looking to be in hardcore bands, or what was your musically?
I skipped the band with all the talk here.
Sure.
But when I first came to Buffalo, I played with Nick Gonzalez, who's our bass player now.
Okay.
And the first band that I was in was Spitfire and the Rebel Yell, and I was back in '97. And we played the Continental. We played the Atomic. We played a bunch of other clubs downtown.
Mm-hmm. And we had the Continental, I mean, too.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the late 90s. Mm-hmm. We played a bunch of those shows and stuff. Thomas Brookins was our singer. He was in
The Brookins Institute.
But him and Nick were in a bunch of other hardcore bands, Yellow Number 5, bands like that. And they ended up performing Spitfire and Rebel Yell.
Okay.
And but Thomas moved away in '99, and that's why that band petered out.
Oh. So, and what was the Spitfire and the Rebel Yell? What style?
So we were like hardcore mixed with rockabilly. We were kind of psychobilly.
Oh, okay.
So we had a couple of songs that were kind of that vein. They had like a rockabilly sound, but super fast. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Reverend Horton. It was mm-hmm. like that, but heavier. More metal.
What'd you think of the scene when you got up here? Did you think there was a lot of places to play? Did it seem like it was...
Oh, no, definitely.
The style was different than what you wanted to do? What was the impression?
Well, so I moved here from Detroit. Mm-hmm. I was out there for 4 years before I came to Buffalo. And the music scene in Detroit is a very heavy scene, and Buffalo is very similar to that. So, I mean, okay. I came out there, the White Stripes were just getting started mm-hmm. back in Detroit back then.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The guitar player was in a band called Goober and Appease mm-hmm. at the time, and there was a bunch of other bands like Mule was my favorite band at the time, mm. and they were super heavy blues.
Okay, I actually don't know.
Kind of like they were like Reverend Horton Heat, mm-hmm. but like with way heavier, way dirgier, kind of mm-hmm. like cross with what is it?
River Bottom Nightmare Band?
Yeah, something like that. Something heavy, you know.
Okay.
So they but anyway, they had like slide guitar and stuff, but they mixed it in with the blues and stuff. It was cool.
Oh, wow.
So you know, when the White Stripes came out, it was kind of like that, but like a little bit more watered down.
Mm-hmm.
But they were three piece too. So
tell us about your new Super Tugger album that's coming out on the 23rd.
Yes, we have our new albums coming out. It's called Wasted, Hopeless, Wasted, and it's mm-hmm. six songs. You know, two of the songs Ryan may recognize that Jason wrote a while back, but we never got to record.
I remember Bag of Bones. What's the other one?
The other one is Collect From Afar.
I'll have to check that one out. I don't know if I remember that.
The other ones I wrote recently. And, you know, it's I think it's a pretty solid collection, kind of where we're at. There's some heavier songs and some, just kind of replacements kind of songs.
Oh, great.
So we're like a mix.
Well, would you like to introduce a song that we can play on the podcast? Like, just tell us which one you'd like to play, and then when we come back from the break, maybe we'll get into some other questions.
Well, the request from Ryan was to hear Bag of Bones. That was one Ryan played
like
on way back when in The Viva Noir. So go ahead and play that.
All right, so this is Bag of Bones. Ryan's having a sip of his Pepsi, so I'll do the talk-up, I guess.
I thought you were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I was going to, actually. This is Bag of Bones by Super Tugger here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
On allwnyradio.com.
High five.
Give up.
Talk about working with Jay Braley. You've been with him for Super Tugger. You were with him in Viva Noir. You guys have been attached for a while. I think he has a really unique voice. What is it about the way you two work together that makes you get along so well for so long?
We like this similar music. We started off, like I said, doing these punk covers. We kind of had a genre we were already going into. We don't have exactly the same musical taste, but if we were like a Venn diagram, we overlap a lot.
Yeah.
So we're able to incorporate a lot of that. Just used to playing it with each other and stuff. I let him yell and he lets me solo. So that's a pretty good mix.
Dream partnership.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the definition of compromise, I
exactly.
think.
Yeah, totally. You know? Like I sing melody and at that moment, Ryan doesn't play a bass melody over my melody. So we have something like that going.
Right. Too, Dennis tells me not to and I do it anyway.
Well, sometimes that happens. That's true.
I do what I want.
Well, exactly. At whatever expense to the music.
Exactly.
Excellent attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, see how far you go with that.
I will.
All right. Well, you've been in the band 5 years.
Yeah, it's going really well.
Booted you yet.
So.
Ryan and I are in a death stare right now.
I hate you so much, Dennis.
Stop it.
No. I like you. You're okay.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna say love, but yeah, maybe it's like.
So I think that's everything. Do you want to introduce one more song from the album that we'll play before to send you out?
Yeah, the final song on this album is a song that we imagine playing at Sabres games, and it's called Mistake on the Lake.
Okay.
And it's about Buffalo. It's about people we've jammed with, about friends who've left, and how we're still here, and we're still the struggle is real, we're still enjoying life here in Buffalo. We were here. I moved here in the '90s when it was pretty bad,
mm-hmm.
and it's only gotten better since then. And we still get ragged on, but we still love it, and it's our town, and it's our home, and that's what the song's about. So it's taking the criticisms and turning it around, and telling people what we dig about it.
That's right. Yeah, that we're here and we're not going anywhere.
No way.
Call us a mistake on the lake if you want.
Call us a mistake on the lake if you want, but we're still here. That's it. You know?
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, here it is. Let's have a listen. Angel, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
And CD release party
June 22nd, we're playing at the Mohawk. We are playing with Wolf Tickets and Damage Report. Come on out. It's going to be a big show. Wolf Tickets is awesome. Chris puts on the Strummerville show every year.
Okay.
And Wolf Tickets is his main band. And those guys crush it. So you're going to want to come out. It's going to be a great night.
Cool. How much is it?
$5.
$5.
I got $5.
What else can you do in Buffalo on a weekend night for $5?
Exactly, without using your hands.
Yeah, you can buy some lube, I suppose.
All right. Fine. The second best thing that you can do that costs $5 or less in Buffalo, go to the Mohawk Place, see Super Tugger, and this is Mistake on the Lake on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
What?
On allwnyradio.com. Smooth.
right, so here's the first of the four Band on the Street interviews that we recorded on May 24th at the Mohawk Place. This is the Eves. First, you're going to hear their song Black Sheep, and then you're going to hear the Eves talk to us, to Ryan and I, about where the name the Eves comes from, and more interestingly, their search for an authentic sound as a Buffalo band while recording at GCR.
Scientist, I'll never look my best. Punch drunk in a social mess, the black sheep of the town. Hollow hope and I never was lost out on the public's love. I bet the show won't be enough, but the man is coming down. I wish I had the sense to change. Wish I had the rage of a runaway. Wish I wouldn't settle for the easy way around. This is my last night down and out. I'm cracking up at the side of my shadow now. I still bet it all on the fall of the wrong way down. I do my best to look real tough.
We are here with the Eves, who just got finished a fantastic set at Mohawk Place.
Yep, and tell us what the Eve, like, what is the Eve?
An Eve is, like, the point of a house, if you will. Adam is an engineer. He might have a...
That's it's the edge kind of the roof, where it meets the wall.
Right. Yeah, but also, it's a fantastic Warren Zevon song called Desperados Under the Eaves, and it's our favorite band and artist and songwriter. So that's where we got our name from.
Do you guys ever entertain the idea of covering any Warren Zevon?
Yes. Excitable Boy is something that we're going to cover. Yeah.
We did. Because, we did one. Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, we did Werewolves of London on a Halloween show,
which is bittersweet.
Yeah, because like, it's like fuck, that's not real Warren, but it is still. But I think society made it something that it wasn't. But either way, it's not a cheesy Halloween song. It's a cool ass song. But Excitable Boy is very interesting because the lyrics are so dark and so weird.
It's the darkest.
And the song is so fucking happy. You know what I mean?
Wow, what kind of influences do you guys have? I heard a lot of 80s new wave into kind of what you were doing. And
we started out from an Americana bass, Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, Warren Zevon. But we grabbed from the Replacements a lot. And when we think about the Replacements is that they found a way to make Americana music punk rock. So we went with that kind of like punk rock and roll guitar sound, but then brought in like the low vocal.
Right. So how long have the Eves been around?
Well, like Mo was saying before, we started as like kind of like it was us, and then we added Lou when we did we went in to a studio because we have a new record coming out as the Eves. We never did a debut record as our old thing, 60s Future, and we retooled and kind of focused in on what we wanted our sound
our
to be.
Our producer really helped us say, you need to find a unique sound for your band that works on every level and has all your influences in it. And it's our old band, 60s Future, we were just copying Bruce Springsteen pretty much.
Yeah, okay. it was super reflective of the influences.
Yeah.
And,
so who's this new producer?
His name is Ted Hutt. We brought him in from LA to work with us at GCR Audio. He did the Gaslight Anthem's 59 sound, Dropkick Murphys, Lucero, Flogging Molly, a bunch of great bands. Old Crow Medicine Show, Lucero. It was like our dream person to work with. And he said yes when he heard our demos.
Nice.
So that was crazy. So we got to work with him, and now we're...
And he gave you this advice. What's the advice he gave you in a nutshell?
The advice was, like, come up with a unique sound that really personifies you.
Yes.
As a person. And, like, also, we were doing a lot of Americana stuff. One of the main things he said to us is, like, you're from Buffalo, New York. You're not from Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, pull that out of you. So there's hints of early Goo Goo Dolls in our sound.
I hear that. Absolutely.
It's like an authenticity thing without even really... And we don't even know, really.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't plan on having hints of early Goo Goo Dolls, but, like, I can hear it now, like, if I listen to Superstar Car Wash and I listen to our band. You know what I mean?
Yep. And there's a Westerberg tie-in with all that,
exactly.
Too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, we always have some dumb banter about... It's like people don't know. People still don't know. Like, even the Goo Goo Dolls being from here and...
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, nobody listens to anything before A Boy Named Goo, so...
Yeah, probably
like,
not.
Superstar Car Wash is their best album by far. Now, something you mentioned earlier about finding a producer working on your album was finding a unique sound.
Yeah.
This is something, whether I'm doing reviews, whether I'm interviewing bands, I always talk about it because there's a difference between copying something and being influenced by someone.
Exactly.
So what is the process that you'd recommend for another band that was trying to find their unique sound? How do you get there?
You take your best elements and try to see what people like about you. Like, for us, it was, like, really the low vocal was something. Because when we were in 60s Future, he was doing higher vocals, too, like yelling like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It was more of like a
bark. Yes, but the low vocal and the vibey stuff was something people really liked. So you take the best elements, I think, what people like, what you like yourself, and you really have to mash your influences together. Like I said, we can't just be Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work that way for us.
And here's, like, the other thing is, like, when we did it, Ted was like, you know, we did it, we recorded the record over, like, 13 days. He's in town just for that time. And, you know, it was a super, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, writing happening overnight between studio shit, so you almost have no choice, but, like, you just get kind of wrung out, and you're just reduced to your essence no matter
what you
do.
Your heart.
I'm that dumb or that thick that, like, you know, you gotta kind of corner me, and, like...
Part of it, too, is, like, you can still take influences from other bands. There's no reason you can't. You could hear a song like that, I want to write a song like that.
Another band.
Yeah, and you could do it your own way. You know what I mean? Like, but you can't think about it, it really, you have to think about your heart and what's inside you, yeah. And that'll be your unique sound.
Do you have a release date?
No, not yet. It's,
yeah. We'd be stupid to say it at this point.
Yeah,
so it's like
it's 8 songs.
We have
We wanted to do it old school, like Damn the Torpedoes is 9 songs, Born to Run is.
Yeah, really. Like, yeah. We really put it, you know, and really put thought into, like, you know, the sequence and when the flip happens and all that.
Yeah.
But
aesthetic, everything.
Yeah,
everything's planned out with this band.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having
pleasure.
Us.
Yeah. Dennis, yeah, I am...
It's a pleasure to meet you guys.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you, man.
I'm getting tired.
Nice to meet you, man.
Can we go to bed?
Yeah, Ryan's kind of sleepy. Do you want to watch some Netflix and just kind of...
Oh, we can cuddle on the couch?
Chill out.
That's great.
Yeah, actually, have you seen Evil Genius yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's really good.
All right. Wild Country.
We're
going to
see that.
We're going to binge on Evil Genius while Dennis braids my hair.
Yeah.
Evil Genius is wild.
And next up, we have First Ward, and we're going to be hearing their song Speck of Dust. You'll hear the guys reacting to a rare positive review out of me for their Live at Raven EP. We'll listen as Dennis tells his Warren Zevon Sign My Rolling Papers story for the 19th time.
Get a lot of mileage out of that.
And I might just be amazed about how much Zach Ward likes Tom York.
Feel the fire burning in my blood. Just need droplet in the ocean.
So, first of all, we'll want to just introduce the band and tell me who we're talking to here.
This is First Ward.
All right, and what's your name and what do you play?
I'm Zach. I sing and I play guitar.
I'm Josh. I play bass.
And I'm Kevin. I play keyboards and acoustic guitar and background vocals.
And sometimes he plays the fool.
That's right. Tambourine.
to paraphrase John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotta throw that in every time.
I love it. And who are we missing?
We are missing Dave Harris, our very sexual lead guitar player, and Jeff Shaler.
Hypersexual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
World-renowned drummer.
Cool.
Well, so these guys just got off stage about 45 minutes ago, played some songs from your EP, Live at Raven, which I can tell you is the only album I've reviewed for all WNY Radio that I've given a good review to.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Not a lot of bands generally send stuff in. And it's usually not the bands you want to send stuff in. So now,
glad you liked it.
I know at the time, I think you were kind of the album was talked about on like social media is kind of like being in preparation for like a big album coming out. And nothing's been out since. Is something on the way?
Well, we have at that point we were a 4-piece band. Then we got a different drummer, recorded a full album pretty much. And then we got Kevin as an auxiliary keyboard, guitar, vocal extraordinaire. And then we got another drummer after that. So basically we were Spinal Tapping for about 3 years. No, maybe 2 years. But so basically, yeah, we kind of started from scratch in the beginning of this year. That's basically what happened.
All right.
You know, we spent a lot of time working on a record last year. But when you change a band member out, it's not just like, you know, replacing a leg on a chair, you know, you change the whole dynamic and the whole feel of everything. So we kind of started from scratch, which I was okay with. I feel like we finally found our footing once we got this lineup. And we actually did record an EP, which is, you know, in development right now.
Mm-hmm.
And should be coming out shortly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now, when you guys songwrite, is it just Zach brings the songs to everyone, or does everyone kind of work at writing?
Yeah, Zach will bring a song to rehearsal. You know, when I joined the band about a year ago, there was 10 songs fully formed that the band had learned, and it was kind of a transition period, so we worked on things. So there was kind of a base there, but the way it works is that Zach will bring a song to the band, and we'll all create our own parts to it, and we'll come out with something, and we'll just try different things, and I'll throw ideas out there.
And Zach, what is it that inspires you to write a tune? Like, what, like, you know what I mean? Like what's the germ?
Well, it's hard to say, but
I know if you can generalize though.
Well, I mean, that's what I do. That's what I do. I mean, I was like 14, the mid 90s.
Generally, that's what you do.
No, I play music for a living. This is what I do. I write songs and I mean, I perform music, but but no, that's the thing. Like I always say, if I wasn't doing it on stage, I'd be sitting at home on my couch writing songs. It's just I don't know. The first time I heard somebody play an acoustic, maybe it was me, like, growing up in the 90s, like, hitting puberty in, like, the mid-90s. It was so many good dudes with acoustic guitars, like, just singing songs, and it was like, okay, I want to do that.
Who's your favorite?
Tom York, without a doubt.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was an obsessive Radiohead fan for a long time.
What about the rest of you? Who's your favorite group? What's your name? I'm sorry.
Josh, yeah.
Okay, Josh.
Oh, man.
Number one.
It's like South Desert Island Band? It's going to be the Beatles.
It's got to be the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's our answer?
Desert Island Band, as
there's
far
a
as
pretty diverse
who I'm listening to right now.
Yeah.
I've been pretty bent on the Mountain Goats a lot lately, but I wouldn't put them at my favorite or anything. It's just what I've been finding to be.
That's the present.
I enjoy listening to it in this season, you know? It's nice. Cool. Yeah.
Josh and I started this band, and either he called me or I called him and said, do you want to start a rock and roll band? You know? And because you grew up playing fast rock
punk
and roll.
Rock. I was punk rock all the way.
Yeah.
And so, Zach comes from the other side of that. So we decided to find something in the middle.
I tricked him. I was like, we're going to rock out. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be great. And then I started singing these sad melodies. And he was all right. He was already in the band at that point.
Did you hear that first, that one really fast song that we played, Second to Last?
Yeah.
That was the first song that we played together.
I thought that
was going to be the band.
Upstairs here?
Yeah.
Did you guys play that upstairs here?
No. No.
No?
Back when these were Kenmore rehearsal spaces. Yeah, that was in Kenmore, I think.
Oh, jeez.
So, Zach, all-time favorite? Who is it? Is it Radiohead?
All-time favorite what?
Band. Group.
Probably Beatles, yeah. Okay. It's got to be the Beatles.
You don't say Beatles.
Nah, Warren Zevon. For me, it's Jackson Brown, Eagles, Linda Ronstadt.
Okay, I've heard a lot of people say Jackson Brown, but I've never made the connection.
Ooh, what
album do I need to listen to?
Oh, well, you need to listen to the Pretender album, front to back. Big time. Absolutely. That album or his first album, I think it's called Saturate Before Using, I think it's called.
Okay.
And I just...
I
just saw Jackson Brown a month ago. Not even a month ago.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, not far from here.
Cool. And do you guys get it? Are you Jackson Brown dudes?
Listened to it when we made cards for our music video.
I know, like,
three Jackson Brown
songs.
Yeah, Zach was confused.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, I guess. It's just a songwriter thing, you know.
But isn't there always, like, 17 more artists?
People who love music.
The next band tonight, The Eaves, their name is inspired by Desperado Under the Eaves, which is a Warren Zevon
song. Which is a Zevon tune.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I saw Warren Zevon live, actually.
Get the hell out.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I saw...
Dennis is really old. Like, yeah, I don't think you guys understand. He's wearing a hat. It's hard to tell.
Does it mean anything? I got Warren Zevon to sign my rolling papers. I was at
where,
a show.
When was this?
I think it was at... The hell was it?
72,
it was
the
like
Forum in L.A.
1995.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that long ago. And he signed my... This is a funny story, actually.
1995 was a long time ago.
I
remember it fondly, and it was a long time ago.
He signed my rolling papers. We stuck around after the show, right? He signed as in Werewolves of London.
He did.
7 months later, I threw him in my glove box that night. 7 months later, I totally forgot about it. I'm going over the border into Canada. And they're like, oh, pull over. I'm like, everything's great. They look at my glove box. They pull out these rolling papers and say, well, first of all, they're rolling papers.
Yeah.
Second of all, they say, ah-ooh, and they're like, looking at them like, what is this? I'm like, that's a signature by Warren Zevon. They're like, whatever, hey, we're confiscating this.
Oh, no!
It was gone. So
you could have been rolling cigarettes.
I don't even have it anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing inherently wrong with rolling papers.
No, there isn't, but it's just, I guess it's a red flag sort of thing.
Probably sealed your fate there with the rolling papers, because probably would have ended up using them at some point.
Yeah,
I forgot they were there, and then my memento of that evening.
That's what you get for forgetting you got a Warren Zevon autograph.
That's kind of true.
Like, I come home, I put that in display case.
It's one of those things. Once you mention him, it's kind of a if you get it, you get it.
Oh, absolutely.
Situations.
Yeah, he's the man. Give me 1 second while I...
Just one more question. So, I don't know. Kevin, how long have you been on the music scene locally?
Oh, years.
I don't know. I guess I've been doing it around for like 15 years.
And Zach, you?
Since 1995.
Okay, so...
Long time ago.
A little bit longer.
I've been playing at Showplace Theater since 1996.
Yeah, love Showplace Theater.
I was in Orange Sunshine. Remember fucking the name Orange Sunshine around?
Of course, definitely. Okay, killer.
Yeah, you're the best.
So, what changes have you guys seen in the scene from the 90s to now? Like,
I don't know about changes, but I would know, like, it feels like the past, like, 5-6 years, maybe like five, up to 10 years, there's been a lot of great new bands. There's great venues. I feel like there was a bit of a drought there in, like, the mid-2000s of places to play. It was Mohawk and Nietzsche's, you know? And now there's a ton of places hosting shows.
Like, what other places are you impressed with?
Ironworks is huge. Ironworks is a great venue.
I haven't been there yet. I've heard
it's
nice.
Me neither. Yeah,
it's a great idea.
What?
Ironworks is a great idea.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So
we,
you know.
What do you mean, to play it? Do you guys get an offer there or something?
No, it's a great place. I actually was just there this weekend, but it's a fantastic venue. Cool. I really like the idea of having a venue down there.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
The guy that thought of it, he was
Yeah, the guy that thought of
dude.
It was a great guy.
He was a good dude.
He's very good.
Funny yours? Or?
Yeah.
What's another good venue, man? Town Ballroom's a great...
Town Ballroom's killer. Awesome.
I mean, that was there
Town
for a
Ballroom's
while.
Town Ballroom's the best room in Buffalo.
We just played there on...
Artie and Pete, the guys that run that place, are fantastic guys. They've had us a few times now, and we just played there on Saturday, and we had a really good time. It was at an autism benefit.
I think we talked about that on the podcast.
You mentioned that it was coming
up. We played with Dead Wolf, and we also played with...
Max Moscato
is the one who puts that show
and
on.
And a funk band out of Boston called Ripe. That was pretty good. They covered The Lion King, so they were pretty awesome.
All right.
I was Dead Wolf. What are they?
Oh,
Dead
great.
Wolf is
They're awesome. Buddies of ours, and they're very, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with those guys. They do
I know
psychedelic
Tyler.
Rock.
Yeah, I actually know Tyler from about 15 years ago. I played in, I'm from North Tonawanda.
Okay.
And his dad was, like, friends with a guy that was in my oldies band.
Oh, yeah.
So when he was, like, fucking 13 or, like, 14, he would come to our band practices, sit in on drums, this little
oh,
dude.
Oh, he's a drummer?
You know?
All right.
He played drums back
okay.
then. And I've talked to him since
he's probably
on
one of those guys.
They always bring
know?
All this equipment
it's
out.
It's hilarious.
That,
but
we love,
I love
we
Dead Wolf, too. They sound great.
Yeah, yeah, they're really cool.
Mellotron. They bring a Mellotron.
They bring out a fucking Mellotron?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You should definitely get out to see
them. I am at their next show.
Yeah,
totally.
Oh, just, yeah, no, like a vintage 12-string electrics and all these big hollow bodies.
Yeah, 12-string.
Oh, it's great. It's great. They have a light show. They do a whole thing. Aircraft is another great band that does that too.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of good bands. A lot of good bands out right now.
All right, so Kevin, Zach, thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Yeah, we lost Josh along the way to a girl,
yeah,
but that happens.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Totally happened.
Yeah, but thank
good
you
it's
very
great
much.
I seem to notice the thing with Josh and pretty girls coming by and then
yeah.
Josh.
I don't know what
appears.
You're talking about.
I don't
know what
but
you're
the Eves are about to start playing, so this is perfect
yes.
timing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
thank you guys very much.
This is aggressive Americana artist Rust Belt Brigade doing Wanted Man live. And we talked to one of their bass players, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, about being an MMA fighter and how you just can't kick ass with impunity the way you used to be able to in today's snowflake environment.
It's a damn shame.
Running down my vents. Running in the boss city. They ain't never gonna let me rest. Till I became a wanted man. Well, I never even owned a gun. Now they all me like a mountain jam. I'm always on the run. Well, I kill for their price. In a battle, in a fight. And I kill them with my bare hands. For the girl I love that night. And Jeff Buff is out to get me. And he's coming with me. Running down my vents. Throwing in the posse. I'm a vest.
My name is Brandon. People call me Muckle or Mux. I'm part of the Rust Belt Brigade, and I play acoustic bass, sometimes guitar.
I'm Trevor Jennings. I play percussion, the cajon specifically, which is a box that I sit on that people are really love, I guess, and
yeah.
very intrigued by.
I'm Maya Franco. I play the banjo and provide some vocals as well for Rust Belt Brigade.
I'm Victor Castillo. Two vocals, and I play guitar and mandolin in Rust Belt Brigade.
Great. Awesome. So I've noticed you guys pass along. Victor does the main vocals, but you guys kind of pass along to the other guys. How do you pick when someone else gets to sing?
Honestly, it's mainly, we sort of like to maintain a string band mentality, so if you write the song, then you sing the song, and thankfully all of us in the band can actually sing, so it kind of works out that way. Basically, yeah, if you wrote the lyrics, then you should probably sing them.
And everybody is welcome to contribute material.
Absolutely.
Too,
absolutely.
We all contribute a song.
Even the drummer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Even the drums.
Even the drummer.
Absolutely.
That's,
especially
that's
the
surprising.
So, you guys are your throwback. I mean, you're definitely playing music that...
In a tradition.
I mean, yeah, yeah. You opened with, what was the name of the song they opened
John
with?
The Revelator.
John the Revelator. I mean, that's an old spiritual.
Right, well, like, I mean, folk, by definition, is kind of like passing down songs and making renditions of songs.
Sure.
The Erie Canal, too, it's like... We just like to pay tributes, you know. We don't ever cover a song, we pay tributes. Even when we do cover songs at shows, they're always just kind of tributes our own rendition. You know,
sure.
Some folk songs don't even know who wrote them. You know,
yeah.
And we just kind of do our own rendition of them.
Do you guys have any band fights?
What was the closest you ever came to breaking up? Has there been a moment?
No, really.
So. Are you an MMA fighter? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, mostly Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Mostly, yeah, I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've had a few MMA fights, but...
No big deal. Everybody.
Yeah.
He's the muscle.
One way or another.
You ever had to bust out any moves at a gig that somebody approached the show?
I wanted to, but...
anybody trying to get close to the
I don't know, man. Everybody's so sue happy nowadays. You can't fight like you used to. It was the 70s. Yeah, you just fucking... Some asshole in a fucking leather jacket goes, fuck me, you fucking punch me in the face.
So the rest of you guys, you gotta have a bigger mouth on stage then, because...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I'm not fucking with any of you guys.
No, we would not be as cocky as we are.
I've heard stories about him, and it scares me a little bit.
Yeah. No, I kind of wish he was there when we started as a duo, because we had some basement shows. I was like, I wish we had some muscle behind us. We're two skinny dudes who just smoke cigarettes and are not ready to get into a fight with these
coffee,
people.
And finally, we'll be philosophizing with Mike Frazier from Mike Frazier and the Dying Wild. We're going to hear his song Read My Rights, and then I don't remember what we talked to Mike about, but that's okay, because I don't think he does either.
Doubtful.
Not again. And then will it end?
We are here with Mike Frazier of Mike Frazier and the Dying Wild. You just finished playing an excellent set here.
Thank you very much.
At Mohawk Place.
Thanks.
So this is your second time in Buffalo.
Yeah.
What do you like to do when you're here?
Well, today we got a great tour. We went up to the top of the City Hall, checked out the whole city from up there.
I haven't been up to the top of the City Hall.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Oh, it was cool as shit.
How'd you get
it's, our buddy was like, oh, it's free to go up there. So we went with a couple of our friends from here. And Ben from the band Head North and Marigold, his new project, he took us up there. And
cost any money?
No, it's free to go up there.
Was Byron
How
Brown?
Do you guys not know this? Dude, I'm not even from here.
Was Byron Brown on the elevator with you? That's our mayor.
Oh, that's your mayor? I'm sure Byron Brown was hanging out there somewhere. There sure was a lot of security.
He's super cool.
But yeah, no, we went up top. It's beautiful. Got some wangs. Drank a little Bat Blue. I mean, I got the full experience, I'll tell you. That's for sure.
So, you have recently played a bunch of shows in Canada.
Yeah. Yep.
So I usually ask people how the Buffalo music scene compares to the rest of our country. How does the Canadian music scene compare to like what you've been seeing in the U.S.?
It's really it's very eclectic. There's like certain pockets where, like somewhere like Montreal, they're right now they're having a really really strong ska revival scene. Like ska is huge in Montreal right now. But so is punk rock. Like punk in Canada I think does a lot better than it does like a lot of the places on the East Coast. I think the punk scene's up there. Like like Pooza Fest, for example, in Montreal. I don't think that the way they do that festival and the style and everything would work really well in the States like it does up there in Montreal. It's a really, like I'm saying, it's eclectic. It's a lot of stuff. But
can you describe for our listeners what Pooza Fest is?
Pooza Fest is like it's a mainly punk rock festival.
Uh-huh. And where does the word Pooza come from?
Poutine on pizza. There you go. Yeah.
Right.
And like I was saying earlier, it was great.
It's as amazing as it sounds.
It was. Yeah. You take your slices of fromage and you toss some pizza on there. Yeah. Or some poutine. Yeah. It was great.
It's good to go.
Yeah.
So Canada compared to the U.S., more people?
I wouldn't say necessarily more people. I think it's very similar in certain aspects. I mean, the biggest difference, like I'm saying, is the genres that are popular and like stylistically what might be bigger, you know, in Canada as opposed to here.
You were just in London, right?
Yeah, London was. So a reason I'm saying it's not even that different. It's like London reminded me a lot of like Southern America and certain parts of the States where like when we play in Northern Alabama,
like it's more rural.
Yeah. It's always a great time because they don't really have a lot of bands come through, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll play in like
they're starved for entertainment. They're used to staring at tractors and cows.
Right, or there's, you know, not a lot going on. So it's like when a band comes through on tour, everybody goes to see them, you know.
Right.
And like last night, same thing in London. It's not. I don't think it's a very frequented spot, you know.
There's barn raisings and there's rock bands.
Right, exactly.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt pretty rural. It reminded me a lot. Like, I kept saying it, harping on it. I was like, this looks like Alabama.
Yeah, because you're from the South.
Yeah. I'm not from Alabama, but I've been down there many a time. And it's one of those things like it was just like there wasn't a lot going on, so the people that were there were so stoked.
Like
I was signing autographs and like I was like it was crazy. Like that never happens.
Yeah, like we're outside.
Yeah, it was insane, dude. It was cool. So it was very fun. Canada's great. I love it over there. Sure.
So you're telling me a story about a drunk sound guy.
Oh,
one of your last shows.
Last night. So in London. Well, I'll do the whole story.
Yes, please.
We get to the original venue we were supposed to play at, and the power was cut. There was no power in the venue.
What was this venue? Describe it.
It was an art space. It was like an art collective. You know, you got a committee that runs the place, and it's like it's like a chair or board of like directors. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And like, whoever was in charge of paying the electric clearly fell flat on their face because that shit was just black in there. It was just dark. There was no light.
From the moment you got there?
Oh, yeah. We walked into, like, the venue. I'm flipping switches. I was like, oh, Jesus. So the promoter shows up at the show, and I was like, dude, there's literally no power in this place. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we got a problem.
Yeah, and they start talking, and the promoter just walks, like, two doors down to a bar on the corner that had, like, that's where the rest of my band was. They were
so
there.
This promoter is somebody you'd been in touch with?
Yeah, right. Well, I met him one time before. I played with his band in Ottawa. And
you get to town, and you're like, yeah, hey, we got a problem.
Yeah, and so he walks over to the bar. It would be like if right here was the venue and the bar was Electric,
Electric Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So he walks in, says, hey, we have this problem. The bar's like, oh, you just do the show here. And it was like such an upgrade. The sound, it was like a full venue.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was awesome. And
was it really an electric bill not being paid in the original?
Yes, yeah,
space?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the idea.
Literally, that was it.
Wow.
So we get in. The show must go on. Mm-hmm. The sound guy for the night was drunk as shit. He goes in and
probably didn't expect to be.
Oh no,
mixing.
No, oh no. He was not there to work for sure. he turns everything on, puts the mics up, says, okay, I'm good. He's out.
Yeah.
So the guy that plays drums for me, he's a phenomenal sound engineer, and he ran sound for the whole show. It was great. It all worked out, and it was amazing.
And you said it was a really appreciative.
Oh my God. Like I said, people were asking for autographs and all this ridiculous shit. It was so cool. It was awesome.
No, there's definitely these pockets. I've even been to them in kind of eastern areas of New York State it's just these kids, and all they have time to do is just go to shows.
Yeah, exactly.
And it happens once every 2 months.
Right.
They come out and they are stoked.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's great. And the scenes are smaller, so the bands that are from those scenes draw out a lot of people because there's not a whole bunch of other bands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to ask your autograph when this interview is done.
Okay, you got it. You got
cool.
it.
Right,
absolutely.
Cool. Thanks,
absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. That was cool.
So you're working on an album soon?
Yes.
You said you're going up north to a cottage to record? Tell us about that a little bit. So,
for sure.
So it's not a recording studio. It's just a cottage, and you're bringing the equipment up there.
Yeah.
Are you bringing a full electric rig? Are you bringing something a little simpler?
Yeah, we're bringing the whole thing. We're bringing an analog board. We're bringing a bunch of amps, a bunch of stuff. It's my grandparents' cottage out on Lake Ontario, and we're just going to bring the studio to the cottage. It's just this old cottage that's been I grew up going up there, so I'm from Virginia, but we always go up in the summer. And
is that important, having like a space at peace in
I have a really good feeling. I've never done anything like this, so okay. It'll be cool. The only other time I've done something like this, I recorded the acoustic songs on the last record in this practice studio space, this like art room that my mom had in my town where she paints, and it's this old room, and I like just wrote pretty much the whole record there and then recorded songs in there, and that was really cool. So it was one of those things,
like the environment.
Oh,
was
it was amazing.
Deal.
The vibe is everything. It's about the vibe, you know. Yeah. So I'm like a big, I'm all about that. So I think doing it in a place like this where I'm going to be really comfortable is going to be really cool. And that's why I want to get all the meat and potatoes of the record. We're going to do all the vocals, guitars, bass, drums, and then we'll just overdub other stuff, you know, as we go.
How much time do you have planned for something like that?
We're going to track for 4 days of the meat of the record, and then we'll another couple weekends we'll do the rest of we're doing pedal steel and some other various things on it. Yeah. So
band camping trip, basically.
Absolutely. It's gonna be awesome.
Dennis,
it's right on Lake Ontario. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's no Wi-Fi. It's awesome. It's gonna be cool. You got to. Oh, is it dying? Oh, it's good.
Turned out that.
Oh, okay.
Sensitivity.
There you go. Right on.
Dennis, why don't we ever get to have camping trips?
Yeah, geez.
And sleepovers.
Dennis. Come on, man.
It's not my fault. Do you know any? Do you have any cool relatives? Do you have a grandpa?
Have y'all ever been out there to Soda Shores?
Because we haven't been invited yet by our new friends.
There you go. Oh. Hey, all right, guys.
Oh,
come on down.
All right, we're going to do it.
Right on. We'll stay in touch.
All right. Mike Frazier, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to town.
Thanks
great
for
show.
Asking me some
Thanks,
questions.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right, we will be back in 2 weeks on July 1st, hopefully with Dream Beaches, who we promised in this episode, but we had to reschedule a bit.
Yes.
So we're working on scheduling them, so hopefully they'll be here next time. If not, we'll have someone else equally stimulating. Thank you to our guests, and thank you for listening.
Visit BuffaloMusicPodcast.com for an enhanced podcast experience. You can find photos of our guests, our Spotify playlist of local bands that Ryan curates, and we encourage you to visit, mm-hmm. and our Facebook, Twitter, and all that happy horseshit.
Be sure to check out the website of our mysterious benefactors, allwny.com, and get into other great programming.
Yeah, there's streaming web radio of all local music, so you can just put that on and hear different local bands a shuffle. There's local news, music reviews. There's a podcast, the Think So Joe podcast,
which is hosted by Karina DeFabio.
And Corey Comments. The Nick and Dan show is on there. Scott Leffler. And The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, my favorite, I think, of all those programs, for its seamless union of digital photography and intermediate cryptography. And Ryan's personal Twitter is at Sir William Idle. Want to be featured on the show? Hit us up.
Thanks, folks, and keep struggling.